We continue now with the contrast between what I call the CR theology and the AAA, the AAA theology. And these lead to a number of other differences. The chief one of us for us is that one of them supports the idea of a Christian philosophy and the other puts a roadblock in its way and makes it impossible. Before we get to that, however, there's another problem that I think we need to deal with and in order to set it aside, and that's the argument called the problem of evil. Now, the first thing to understand is that this is an old-timey use of the word evil. It means evil in a sense we don't use it anymore. The problem of evil is not the question, why are people wicked sometimes? That's not it. The problem is more precisely stated this way. Why is there undeserved suffering in the world if God can stop it? And the argument is going to be that if God is really all good, he'd want to stop the evil, that is the undeserved suffering. And if he was all powerful or anything close to that, he could stop undeserved suffering. And yet undeserved suffering is everywhere. And it's tragic and it's severe. So how can you stand there and tell me a good and powerful God created this world and now stands by and lets undeserved suffering run rampant through it? That's the problem. That's the subject of a book that appeared around the year 250, 250 years after Christ. And in that book called Against the Christians, a pagan writer named Porphyry, that's his pen name, we don't know his real name, stated this argument in just this way. And needless to say, the Cappadocian and Reformational reply to this is not the same as the AAA theology's reply. So what I intend to do now is state the argument that Porphyry gave, rephrase it, state it as a logical argument, and I hope that you'll be able to see that it is a valid argument. If the premises are true, the conclusion must also be true. And then we will review the different replies that have been offered to this great challenge. This is, I think, the best argument against the existence of God. It's the best argument that an atheist can produce. And so it's important to show, I think, why and how it fails. First of all, you'll notice that it starts, God is, by definition, it starts with a piece of AAA theology. God is, by definition, the being with all and only perfections. So it begins right out, it begins from the outset with the central claim of the AAA theology. Premise two, if God is perfectly good, then God would want to prevent undeserved suffering. Three, premise three, if God is all powerful, perfectly powerful, we'll make sure this is a perfection. Perfectly powerful, he could prevent undeserved suffering. However, undeserved suffering exists. Therefore, God is either not perfectly good or not perfectly powerful. Therefore, God, as defined in line 1, does not exist. That's the argument. It's been given many different statements over the years, because it's been around for a long time, since the year 250. But it is, when stated this way, a valid argument. That means if its premises are all true, its conclusion is true. So it really is incumbent on Christians to have a reply to this, and they have, whether in the AAA theological tradition or the CR theological tradition, they both have their replies. And so I want to go through this and make sure you understand each of the premises and the force of the conclusion. And then we'll look at how, in the next section, how the AAA theologians reply to this, after which we'll look at the Cappadocian and Reformational reply to this. Let's go through these again, just to make sure it's as clear as possible. I hope premise one by now is clear. God is defined as the being with all perfections and only perfections. This is Plato's idea that for every characteristic we see in the world, there's a maximal, there's an infinite, perfect instance of that in another world. And whatever it is in this world that is like that copies that. The imperfect instances of green and blue or square or red or horse or house or human got to be in the other world. Is the perfect instance in the other world, and the what we find in our realm where we live and move and have our being are all imperfect copies of the perfections. It includes the necessary truths, right? It includes the laws of logic, the laws of mathematics, and any other laws of necessity that someone might come up with. Premise two, if God's perfectly good, then God would want to prevent undeserved suffering. Seems reasonable, doesn't it? Seems plausible. Suppose I'm on vacation. I'm sitting by a pool and I'm relaxing. I've got a nice crossword puzzle to work out and something really nice to sip while I sit there. And as I'm there, I hear a splash at the other end of the pool. A 1.5-year-old has toddled out, fallen into the pool, and is drowning. And so I call for the pool boy to come scoop out the dead body. I don't go try to give the kid any help. Would you call me good? You don't have to tell me what you would call me, but that whatever it is, it isn't good. If I'm so calloused that I can't even get up out of my chair in order to save a child from drowning, I am anything but good. But now suppose I'm not there. Nobody's there. No human. And the child wanders out, falls into the pool, and is drowning. God could pull him out, right? God has a lot more power than I do. If I can get the kid out, God can. So why do you call God good when he lets the kid drown? I hope you get the force of this. It's not trivial. It almost makes matters worse to read in Scripture that there are many times when God does intervene and save somebody. The prophet Daniel is thrown to the lions. And God closes the lions' mouths, is what the Scripture says. They don't eat him. And yet, the prophet Isaiah was arrested, and he was executed by being sawed into pieces. Holy, that's pretty grim. Why didn't God step in and save Isaiah? I think the scripture does indicate an answer to this, and that it's much more in line with what the Cappadocian Reformational view is going to have to say about it than the AAA tradition. But let's just understand the real force of this. If God's perfectly good, if you wouldn't call me good for letting the kid drown, how can you go on calling God good if he lets tragedy and undeserved suffering strike all over the world in terrible ways? Premise 3 says if God's perfectly powerful, he could prevent undeserved suffering. So whether you think God's infinite power is limited by what's possible or not, it's still the case that God could rescue the drowning child. There's nothing self-contradictory about that. There's nothing about rescuing a child that's on a par with saying 2 + 2 = 7.5. It's not impossible. It's nothing like that. And yet undeserved suffering does exist. There are religious traditions that deny premise 4. In Buddhism and Hinduism, they will tell you that undeserved suffering, that suffering, deserved or undeserved, is part of the illusory world and isn't real, and therefore there is nothing to this argument for them. They would deny it exists. But I want to ask every one of you watching, have you ever suffered undeservedly? I don't think there's a human being that hasn't. Even if it's just for being blamed for something you didn't do, that's a kind of undeserved suffering. I also want to point out one other feature of this argument. The argument looks tight and it's impressive, but you realize that if it's correct, then if so much as one child ever fell and skinned her knee, God would not exist because God could have prevented it. There's something really fishy going on here, right? That isn't right. No ancient Jew would have given that a second thought. You think that if you're God, one of God's people, that God's going to prevent all suffering? I have news for you. No. Okay, so we need to deal with this in that way. But the real existence of undeserved suffering, which you know to be true if you ever suffered undeservedly, is that God's either not perfectly good or not all perfectly powerful, and therefore God, as defined in premise 1, does not exist. Now, in our next segment, we are going to look at 3 arguments that try to countermand this. 3 AAA replies, each of which tries to show that this conclusion doesn't really follow, that there's something wrong with one of the premises. And then in our last segment today, we'll look at how the Cappadocian Reformational point of view in theology would answer this. And that answer is going to be, come straight out of the book of Job in the Bible.